Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Excited. I was praying about what I should speak on tonight and trying to figure out what the Lord would have me give to you as the message, and this is where He led me. And so just looking forward to preaching on this. If you're not familiar with our ministry, I talked about the single mom group. We'd love to have you connect to our ministry. We do have a ministry called Life Factor Spotless Ministries. A ministry underneath there is called God is My Dad. And what we do is we speak, we spread awareness, we create unique resources, we are setting up local chapters. We do all kinds of different things to help fatherless families in Las Vegas and across the nation. And if you'd like to be involved in our ministry, if you'd like to hear more about what we're doing or hear about the release of new resources, I want to encourage you to get on our email list. You can text the word dad to the number 66866. Not 666. I told you before, we're not that kind of ministry, okay? But text the word dad to 66866 and we can stay in touch and we can let you know what we're doing. But God has a lot of things that He's giving to us that we're looking forward to reaching fatherless families across this nation. It's an epidemic, and so we're just excited to be part of that, and we're thankful to be in Las Vegas to reach the fatherless of this city, and excited to for this church that's willing to partner with us and then other churches that we already talked to, that we're looking to work with in Las Vegas. So excited to be here. But tonight, Philippians chapter 3, tonight we're going to talk about how to have a successful life. How to have a successful life. Raise your hand if you're in here tonight, you want to have a successful life. Raise your hand. Maybe you're thinking, well, I already have it. Maybe you're thinking that you already have it. Or, man, Sean, I had it one time, and it's gone now. It escaped me. It's gone. Or maybe you're thinking, I never had it. My mom said one time, she said to us, or actually, she used to say it all the time when we were kids. She would say, I can't wait for my ship to come in. And have anybody ever say that? Did you ever hear that? Anybody say that? We lived in landlocked Pennsylvania. There weren't any ships coming, okay? That's what I said. I'm just kidding. I never said that to my mom. But she would say, I can't wait for my ship to come in. And she would see somebody, you know, get a promotion or something like that, or something happen. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like, well, I got everything settled right now. And so tonight I want you to think about your image of success and maybe think about what it means to you to have success in your life or when you see somebody else. There's some quotes about success that different successful individuals have shared. Who's ever heard of Michael Jordan before? Raise your hand if you've heard of Michael Jordan. Come on. You've all heard of Michael Jordan. He's an American icon, okay? Michael Jordan, he said, I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. He said he kept on going, just kept on going. Another guy, Henry Ford. Henry Ford, I'm a Ram Chrysler guy, so if you like Ford, who likes Fords? Raise your hand. Found on road dead. I'm just kidding. Some people really, I've met some Ford people that are really just adamant about it. I don't know if it's from where I'm from in Pennsylvania, but some people are just, who's a hardcore Ford fan in here? Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate you being like, I really like it. That's fine. It's okay. I'm not one of those people, but that's great. But Henry Ford, this is what he says. This is for you, the Ford people. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. That's what Henry Ford says. Another guy, Vince Lombardi. Who's ever heard of Vince Lombardi before? Has you ever heard of Vince Lombardi? Now, Vince Lombardi was very successful in football, but if you learn about his family, not necessarily the most success with his family issues. He did different things, sadly, with his wife, different things in his life, but very successful in the field. It says, the price of success is hard work, he said. He said, dedication, the job at hand, and the determination that whether we win or lose, we have to apply the best of ourselves to the task at hand. Bruce Lee. Who likes Bruce Lee? Raise your hand if you've ever seen Bruce Lee movies before. Always be yourself. Express yourself. Have faith in yourself. Do not go out and look for a successful personality and duplicate it. A guy named Winston Churchill. Who's ever heard of Winston Churchill? Two more. There's two more. Winston Churchill. Success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Kind of like Michael Jordan. So maybe he learned from Winston Churchill. But he said success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And then the last one is Albert Einstein, the guy with the crazy hair, right? You ever seen that guy in the pictures? He said, try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. And so there's some great examples in here, some great things we can learn from some of these success quotes, and we can learn all kinds of things from different books and different resources, videos, podcasts. But what's the Bible say about success? What does God want us to learn about success? And tonight I want to talk to you about that through two verses. If you already turned there, Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Tonight, I want you to look at with me these two verses and look at how we can find success through God. And there's four steps here, how we can have success and have a successful life. Let's have a word of prayer before we dive into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to just come here tonight and be able to talk about these principles from your scripture, Lord. I thank you for just bringing us here and giving us safety as we came here, Lord. I pray that you please just speak to me now, rid me of myself, and I pray that you speak to our hearts about success, Lord. I pray that it would be from you. And I pray that you would just help us all to work on these different four areas in our lives. And if there's areas in our lives we need to work through, help us to not be afraid to pursue those things, Lord. I pray that you'd please help us in here tonight as we work through our past, whatever it might be. And I pray that for any individuals in here tonight that have never trusted in Jesus as their Savior, I pray that tonight they'd make that decision. Help them to know that's the most important decision they could ever make. Lord, please speak to our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So four steps to a successful life. The first one tonight, the first one's pretty obvious, but if you're talking about how to do it through a Christian faith, the first one is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. You know, the first step to faithfulness is having a relationship with God. Maybe you're in here tonight and you have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. It's telling us here in this passage, look what it says there, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." What does that even mean? Well, you know, sometimes we read in the Bible and we're like, what is this talk? You ever do that? You ever read the Bible and you're like, what? What? You know, maybe it's like 7 a.m. You're looking at it. You're reading it. Maybe it's early. Maybe you're like 5 a.m. You read, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I'm going back to bed, right? You know, sometimes you read things and you're like, I don't even know what that means. We have to look it up. If you look that up, Paul there is telling the church of Philippi, he's saying that he's not arrived as the ultimate Christian. And if Paul's saying that, then I don't think any of us, right? Let's just be honest. Any of us can say that we've arrived as an ultimate Christian today. So Paul's saying, keep going. Paul's saying, keep being faithful in your walk with God. Be faithful. If you want to succeed in life, keep going. Now, again, back to what I was saying earlier, if you're in here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Maybe you think, well, I've never heard about this before, Sean. This is my first time coming here tonight. I've never heard about Jesus as my personal Savior. What does that even mean? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Backing up, for the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What that all means, it means you've got to realize you're a sinner. You've done things wrong. Your sin's going to lead you to hell when you die if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The only way to go to heaven when you die is by having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's by putting your faith in Jesus. So you got to realize you're a sinner, realize your sins are going to lead you to hell, believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again. And you have to call upon Jesus to save you. If you've never made that decision before, you've never called upon Jesus to save you, will you make that decision tonight? Will you make the decision to follow Christ with your life tonight? My microphone keeps on moving over. I'm not sure what's going on here. Can you guys hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Good. It's Wednesday night. We're fine, right? But we're excited to be here. We're excited. But if you've never been saved before, I want to encourage you, before you leave tonight, make that decision. Talk to Pastor Shore. Talk to one of the leaders, one of the ushers. Talk to somebody. Come see me. Come see one of us. Let us lead you in what it means to be saved and help you understand so that you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Now, if you're in here tonight, I want to ask you, how's it going? If you have been saved before, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, is it still going good? Are you still walking with God? Sometimes, like, you can get stagnant in your faith. Some of the things that we need to do to be faithful is by forsaking anything that dishonors God. Get rid of that stuff out of your life that dishonors God and focus on Him. By reading God's Word, spending time with God every single day. You know, sometimes we're like, man, I got saved. Great, I got saved. But now, what do I do now? I kind of just keep it to myself. Good, I don't have to go to hell when I die. Grow in your faith. Read God's word every day. We have it so easy today. Open up the Bible app on your phone, and they give you a verse every day. Read that verse. If you're doing nothing else, read that verse. Start with a verse every day, and then maybe go a little deeper. Read a passage. Read a devotional. Start digging into the scriptures. That's going to help you have a successful life. It's going to help you grow. Be faithful to God. Being faithful to God means growing in your walk with Him. You know, God is our heavenly Father. We say God is my dad with our ministry. But if we don't spend time letting God talk to us as our heavenly Father, how are we going to grow? How are we going to know how to be faithful? How are we going to make decisions? How are we going to decide what God wants us to do every day? How are we going to be led to know where He wants us to go? By praying to Him every day. Spend time praying to Him, talking to Him about the things that you're dealing with. You're like, Sean, well, I already told Him a million times. Tell Him again. Say, God, I'm struggling with this. Ask Him for help in the situation that you're facing, and He'll guide you through. It might not always be the answer that you want, but He'll answer it, and He'll lead you to what He wants you to do. And also by sharing your faith with others. When you live a life of being a witness, sometimes it helps you be a better testimony, because you're like, man, I can't represent God if I'm going to live this way at work or in front of my family. And we're commanded to go just be witnesses regardless. So go out and be a witness for God. And don't be a poor testimony. So be faithful to God. Paul's telling us, he says here, let's go back to the verse. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I have not arrived as a Christian, and we haven't either. We have not arrived as the ultimate Christian. So God's telling us, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep doing what God wants us to do. It's kind of like driving from Tennessee to Las Vegas, okay? I did that on Monday. I left Monday. We drove, and we drove, and we drove, and it was... There's certain points where I'm like, I don't want to drive anymore, okay? Has you ever driven that drive? We drove the first drive when we left here. We drove from here to Venice, Florida, where our sending church is, down in Venice, Florida, Sarasota, Florida area. 34 hours of driving, not including stops. What a nightmare, okay? I was going to be honest with you. Why did you drive? Because we were out on the road. We had to drive. We had our ministry resources. We had things to go to churches with. We needed to drive. It was a long drive. Kept driving, and if you don't keep driving, you're not going to get there. If I would have stopped driving, I would be in New Mexico now, or maybe Texas, and Pastor Shore would have been calling me, saying, where are you? I'm not preaching again now, okay? It's your turn. That's what I'm just kidding. But it's your turn to preach. Drive. Get here. I had to keep driving. And that's the same with the Christian faith. Sometimes we just got to keep driving. Sometimes when we don't feel like being Christian, we just need to get up and do what God's called us to do. And just see how God works. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't matter. God wants us to keep moving forward. Keep being faithful to Him. Brethren, I count myself apprehended. Paul's telling us. He said, keep going. He said, I keep going as a Christian, being faithful to God. I'm sure Paul had times where he didn't feel like keeping going when he was imprisoned and he was shipwrecked and he was bit by a viper and all these different things that happened to him. I'm sure there's times where he's like, I don't feel like keeping going. Right? While we were gone, did you ever hear the thing called COVID before? Did you ever hear that? Have you guys heard about that? While we were out on the road, One Sunday, my voice was started going away, but I didn't have a sore throat, okay? I didn't have a sore throat. And my voice started going away, and I'm like, I don't know. It must be allergies, right? Well, the next day, I started feeling terrible. And I started getting all the symptoms of that thing, COVID, right? You've heard of that COVID thing, right? Have you heard of that? And I started getting these symptoms of it. And I've already had it before. I'm like, how? Pretty sure we had COVID for about a week while we were on the road. Okay. But the thing is, when you're sick like that, sometimes you're like, I don't want to keep going right now. I don't want to do anything. Sometimes you have those times in life where you just can't keep going. Well, just rest with God and pray to God. Say, God, help me right now. God, help me through this trial I'm dealing with. Help me through the struggle I have. Maybe you have a sickness in your family or in your own life. Maybe you're dealing with financial issues or whatever you might be dealing with in your life. Focus on God. Pray to God. Say, God, help me with this. Sometimes we had a professor in college tell us one time, Dr. Kendall, Niels knows who I'm talking about, Dr. Kendall. And Dr. Kendall used to say to us, he'd say, if you're really tired, don't make a decision right then. Sometimes you just need to go to bed. Okay? Sometimes you don't want to act in decisions like that. And he was a pastor for a long time. He was a professor. And that was great advice because sometimes we make decisions when we're really tired and then we end up after that, we're like, that was a really bad decision, right? Sometimes you just got to go rest, give it to God, say, God, I'm going to go to bed. Okay? Sometimes we need to rest, but then continue to be faithful to God. We see in Hebrews 11 that these people that were faithful to God. And now for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of them. But we see in Hebrews 11 how God talks about these different people that were faithful. We see by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, by which he obtained witness that was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. I love the story of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. You imagine going out into the desert out here and building an ark? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine doing that? And just building this big boat and saying, it's going to rain, guys, and this ark's going to get lifted up. And everybody around you would be like, what are you talking about? Right? By faith, Noah did that. Sometimes when you make decisions in life and you know God wants you to make that decision, it looks really weird. It's like whenever God tells you to move to Las Vegas. Did you ever have that? I'm just kidding. I'm experiencing that right now. But sometimes God wants you to do things that are radical because he's directing you and he wants you to do things in life that you're looking at it like, really, God, is this what you want me to do? And he knows this is what you want him to do. And we're so thankful we moved to Vegas because we see the things that God has in store for us. And God has things in store for you. Be faithful to God. Keep walking with God. By faith, Noah, he's so glad he built that ark, right? He was so glad. Once that water came, he was so glad he was faithful to God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He said, okay, God. Do you ever have a time like that in your life where you're like, I know I'm supposed to go right now, but I'm not sure where or why, but God wants me to go and do this thing. Do you ever have a time like that? And it's confusing, and you're like, what's happening? And you can keep reading Hebrews 11. If you're not, you don't do your devotions at right now, I want to encourage you to go out, read Hebrews 11. It's been a good passage for you to read about people that had faith. But we're talking about being faithful to God. And in this passage here, Philippians 3:13, be brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. Paul's saying, one more time, review it. I've not arrived as the ultimate Christian. We haven't either. Let's keep going. Second thing is, if you want to have a successful life, number two is be forgetful. Be forgetful. Forget your past. He says here, look what it says here. Paul's telling us here. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I don't know what I'm doing with this microphone, but it's messing up. I'm struggling. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm doing something wrong. Is it okay now? Is it okay? I'm sorry. It keeps on falling down on me. But he says here in this verse, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes you got to forget your past, right? Who has a past in here? Raise your hand if you have a past. We all have a past, don't we? Sometimes in life, there's things in our past where we're like, I wish that wasn't there. Anybody have anything in your past where you wish you wouldn't have done that one thing? And we're not trying to bring it up to make you feel bad, but sometimes we have that stuff in our life. We all have mistakes and things we've done in our past. We're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But it happened. And Paul's telling us, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul's probably thinking about the things that were behind him. How he helped persecute Christians, right? How he did some evil things. He thought he was doing right, and he did some wicked things. And he wished that he could put that things behind him. And he did, forgetting those things which are behind. He's telling us here, let go of your past. We all have a past. We all have things in our past. Sometimes you got to forgive somebody. Forgive people for the things that they did wrong. How they have hurt you and they have come against you. You got to forgive them. We talked about forgiveness when I spoke last time, 6 weeks ago. We got to forgive people for the things they've done against us. Sometimes you got to forget your past, the past ministry. Maybe you're thinking, well, I've already had a guy tell me one time. I asked him about being involved in a ministry at our church down in Florida. And he said, well, I already served my time. He was retired down in Florida. If you still have breath in your lungs, you can still serve God, right? You can still serve God, forgetting the things you've already done. Paul's telling us, forget our past, forget the bad things, forget the things that people have done to you. People have hurt you. Don't let your past failures, your past mistakes, your past accomplishments ruin your future. Satan wants to use those things to keep you from being a witness, to keep you from fulfilling the things that God's calling you to do. Don't let your past ruin your future. We all have a past. Forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not going to stay on that point long, but I want to encourage you. There's so many people that just hold on to their past. If you're in here tonight, tonight's the night. Say, God, I give this to you. Please take this away from me. I give this hurt to you. My dad was Pastor Tice's older brother, 3 years older than him. Well, you see what Pastor Tice says, 45-year anniversary coming up, amazing things. You see the incredible ministry that God had through his life. Well, then my dad was 3 years older than him. They grew up in the same house, same opportunities, same chances, same things that they could do. And my dad used to, he couldn't let go of his past. He got married when he was 17 years old. He had a baby die crib death. After him and the lady had already split up, the baby died of crib death. And he used to get drunk and whine about his baby that died of crib death when he had 3 children living that he had abandoned. Does that make sense? I'm not bashing my dad, but that's what we do. We hold on to that really bad hurt and we forget about all the good things that God has right in front of us. And I'm not bitter at my dad for that, but I look at that and I learn from it. Because my dad let his past, he would get drunk and I hate alcohol. I'm just being honest with you. I hate alcohol because my dad was an alcoholic. But he would get drunk and he would whine about his dad dying when he was 13 years old. Now, sure, he had to get over it. But I look at my Uncle David and I think, wow, he got over it. And this is what we should be doing. God, give it to God. Give your hurt. Give your pain, give your past accomplishments, give your fears, everything to God and say, God, use my life. Use me for what you... My Uncle Dave is not perfect. He would tell you that. But he let God use his life and we get to celebrate that in September. My dad died alone in a hospital here in Las Vegas because of the life he chose. I wasn't even planning on telling you that tonight, but be forgetful of your past because if you hold on to your past, a lot of times you're going to cope with things of the world like drugs and alcohol addiction and different things that are going to ruin your life so that you can't focus on the future and Satan's going to hold you back from fulfilling what God's calling you to do. Let go of your past. Number three in the 4 steps to a successful life, number 3 is that we're talking about tonight from this passage is be unforgettable. Be an unforgettable person. What are you talking about, Sean? Be an unforgettable person. And end of verse 13, look what it says there. Look what it says there. It says, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. What does that mean? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's an unforgettable person, right? Because most people, what are they living for? Right now. And it's okay if you're a Christian, you're living for right now because you want to be a witness. You want to focus on today to be a witness. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and saying there's a prize in heaven. You know, I'm going to lay up treasures in heaven. God has a calling on my life that I need to focus on. And if I'm just getting a fix every day to cope with my hurt and my struggles, then I'm not going to reach that ultimate goal that God has for my life. And when you act like that, when you do that, you're an unforgettable person here on this earth because most people are focusing on today. They're focusing on that fix. They're focusing on coping through life. And you be that person that's saying, you know what? I'm going to be the testimony. I'm going to be the person that's reaching forth to the future, laying up treasures in heaven. And that's going to impact your neighbors. That's going to impact your friends. That's going to impact the people that you work with. They're going to see a testimony. They're going to say there's something different about that person. And it's going to help you fulfill what God's called you to do with your life. That's how God wants us to be successful, being unforgettable. I'll give you an illustration. I was a little kid. I moved with my grandparents when I was in second grade. Okay. Lived with my grandparents and I was one of the kids that I was the youngest. Who's the youngest in here? You got hand-me-downs from your older siblings. Who got the hand-me-downs? Honest, raise your hand. Be honest with me. You got the hand-me-down. I can see your hands. Okay. Now, maybe who was the oldest that gave the hand-me-downs? She's like, hey, you get the junk, right? I got the hand-me-downs from my older brothers. Sometimes they were good. Sometimes it's like, man, this thing doesn't even work anymore, but it's mine now. Okay. I guess I get the broken toy that had used to work with batteries, but you broke it. And now I get to pretend that it makes noise. Okay. That's what I got this bike He had this hand-me-down bike for my brother, and it had a banana seat on it. Who's ever seen a banana seat bike before? Why did they ever quit making that, right? What an amazing, comfortable experience. And then they went to this little tiny thing that hurts. I don't understand it. But anyways, I'm not going to get into that. But I had this bike, had a banana seat on it, had a fake gas tank on it, and it was made to look like a fake, like a dirt bike, okay? It was a pedal bike, but it made it look like a dirt bike. And I rode that bike all around my neighborhood. I loved that bike. Living with my grandparents, they had this alley that I would drive up and down to Pennsylvania. And I just loved that bike. Well, one day I decided to play mechanic, and I stuck that bike up on the picnic table. And I started taking all the pieces off the bike. And I took the gas tank off and all the different pieces that made it, that kept it still functional as a bike, but it made the things that looked like, made it look like a dirt bike. I took those pieces off. And then as a kid, you know, I lost all the pieces, right? You ever do that? Where you're like, I'm going to play mechanic, and then I lost all the nuts and bolts and everything. And so then I was left with a all-black bike that just didn't have any color to it. It used to have a yellow gas tank on it. It was kind of just a plain bike. Well, one day my grandfather said, Sean, do you want to go and spray paint your bike? I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Spray paint, I'm like in second, third, fourth grade, something like that. I'm like, I'm going to spray paint. This sounds great. Spray paint my bike. Well, see the color here? This is the color I picked. It was about this color that I picked. We went down to True Value Hardware Store and right down the road, picked out this can of spray paint that was like about this color here, went back. My grandfather left me alone with the can of spray paint and the bike. We go back, or he goes over to my aunt's house, she lived next door, and left me alone with this can of spray paint. I'm standing there, and I'm like, well, I might as well get started, okay? And so I start spray painting the handlebars, I spray painted the bar, the crossbar, I spray painted all the different bars, I don't even know what they're all called, but there was a bunch of bars on there, I spray painted a bunch of bars, and then I spray painted the pedals. And I'm like, this chain really could use a touch-up, right? And these spokes really, they just need some color. And these tires, right? Who wants black tires? And so I spray painted the tires. And then by the time I was done, the reflectors, everything, the banana seat, all bright blue, okay? So I had this bright blue bike. I loved that bike. It was great. And I'd ride it rain or shine. I'd ride it all over the place. In the snow, I'd ride that bike. I loved that bike. Well, then I didn't have anybody living in my neighborhood at the time, or any other kids in my neighborhood. And so I would have to play games by myself. Anybody else like that? You played games by yourself as a kid because there was nobody else around. So I was forced to, here we go. And so I would go and I'd play these games by myself. And one of the games I played was Cops and Robbers. And who's ever played Cops and Robbers by yourself before? You have to rob yourself and then catch yourself, right? Did you ever do that? And so I would go and I'd play Cops and Robbers by myself. I'd rob myself. And I'd say, give me the money. And then I would say, no, get out of here. And I'd steal the money from I'd jump on the bike, my getaway car. And then the bike was also my cop car, too. So I'd jump on the bike. That's my cop car. And I would chase myself. Anybody ever chased themselves before? I would chase myself down the alley or around the neighborhood, around the little area I had right there. I would chase myself all around. And it was just an incredible experience. Well, in Cops and Robbers, the cops got to catch the robber eventually, right? I'd catch myself. Did you ever catch yourself before? And so I'd ride my bike. I'd go into the grass. I wasn't that crazy. I'd go into the grass. I have a nice cushiony, you know, soft place to land. And I would go and I would tackle myself off my bike into the grass. And then I would arrest myself. Did you ever arrest yourself before? You're like, this guy's crazy. Yes, I am. They let me speak on Wednesday night. I don't know. At least it's not Sunday. But anyways, so I would tackle myself off the bike, arrest myself. And imagine what the neighbors thought when they saw that. I also would play tackle football by myself. Did you ever play tackle football by yourself, right? I'd wear shoulder pads, a helmet. I got into it. Throw the ball up in the air, catch the ball, tackle myself to the ground. Imagine, again, what if people saw me playing those games? They would think, this kid's crazy, right? What would you think? A little crazy? Now, picture this. That is what we as Christians should be like in this world. Not weird. I'm not saying you should be weird, but we should be extremely different from everybody else around us in the sense of they don't partake in different things. They don't act certain ways. We should be an unforgettable person. I was working one time at a Citibank in Jacksonville, Florida. And at Citibank, I was trying to pay for college, Trinity Baptist College down in Jacksonville. And I was working this job. It was new hire orientation. Citibank was a big company, really big company at the time. And I was just I had no idea what I was doing. I was just trying to pay for my college bill. And so I'm in this new hire orientation. And during the training, they make you do weird things in new hire training. Did you ever do weird things in new hire training? And they said, hey, everybody fill out this paper and tell a story about what you're doing with your life. And so I'm like, okay, this is my chance to be a good testimony. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was scared to death. I'm, 19 years old, work in Citibank. And I just tell people, hey, I'm here to be study to be a pastor, and this is what God wants me to do. Soon after that, I was talking to this guy that just graduated from UCF, a guy named Bill. He really wasn't sure what to do with his life. He had a college degree, but he wasn't sure what to do. And he came up to me after. He said, Sean, there's something different about you, man. Can we talk? And I'm not bragging to myself. Again, I was just a confused college student. Okay, who's ever been there where you're in college and you're like, I'm not even sure what I'm doing right now. I'm just trying to pay my bill and graduate, okay? And so that's where I was at. I was a freshman in college, just got there. And that night at Citibank, because he came up and asked me, I got to lead him to the Lord at midnight at Citibank on their property. What an amazing thing that was. And for me, that was one of the first times I ever got to lead somebody to the Lord. And I'm like, wow, what a cool opportunity. I was so nervous. I'm like, am I going to say the right thing to this guy? Am I going to mess him up? I remember calling my roommates back at the dorm and saying, hey, pray for me. I don't even know what to say to this guy. And I'm like, I got a track out. I'm reading the track. I'm like, this is what I wasn't sure what to do, but I knew God wanted me to talk to him. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be an unforgettable person. When we go into the world, we do different things, doing things that are different for people around us. Investing in a child that is fatherless. We talk about us in our ministry. That's an unforgettable person. When you invest in a fatherless family or a single mom or a grandparent raising grandkids or a single dad or a motherless child, or you become a foster care parent, or even you do things in your neighborhood where you're just a good testimony. You help people out. You do different things at work where you don't get involved in things that are around you. I used to work at a company called Fidelity National Financial in Jacksonville, Florida. It was during college still, and then, even beyond that. And we would go to this thing called Maverick of the Month. And for me, it was just a chance to get out of work and get some free food. Okay, that was a college student. You understand? Who's ever had a time like that where you're like, it's free food time? And I remember going to that thing, and the bosses and people they went for the free alcohol. They're there for that. And they looked at us, and they would see us just drinking a cherry Coke or a Coke or a Sprite. And they look at us weird. But they knew there was something different about us. And again, I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm just saying it's just about being different around people. Not like you're weird. But just saying, I'm not going to partake in that stuff because I know that's not the best thing for me. The Bible says all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. It's not the best thing for my life. It's not what God has for me. Be an unforgettable person by not giving up, by serving in your church, by leading your children, your grandchildren, and the people around you to God, by living a pure life, by not going with the flow of society, by being a loving person, doing your best to live an unforgettable life around people. It's not because we're trying to work our way to God. It's because we're doing it because we love God, and He wants us to be a good testimony. Be faithful to God. If you want to succeed, be faithful to God. Be a forgetful person. Be forgetting your past. Keep going. Be unforgettable. It's telling us reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's an unforgettable person. The third thing, the last thing, if you want to have a successful life here on this earth, the last thing, I press toward the mark. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look what it says there. Let's say it again. I press. Paul's saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's not just saying, I press on. I'm going to press on a little bit. He said, I'm pressing on. Because sometimes it's hard in this life, right? When there's sin all around us and there's the devil's all around you and your kids and your spouse and he's all around your life and he wants to ruin you. But Paul's saying here, press on. I press. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The fourth thing, if you want to have a successful life, be unstoppable. Be unstoppable. And this is all through God's power. This isn't through your strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God's called you to do something, you have God's strength on your life to help you do it. Through Christ, you can do it. You can accomplish it. If God's called you to do that thing with your life, don't take it out of context. Okay, understand that. That's by it's God's strength to do what He's called you to do. Be unstoppable. It's saying, I press on. I'm going to keep pressing on. Who in here has your driver's license? Raise your hand if you have your driver's license in here. Okay. You have your driver's license. As we're about to close, I just want to tell you one last story, okay? I was in high school, And I was one of those kids that would talk all the time. And now that's my job. That's what I do now. But you used to talk. Who liked to talk in school? Raise your hand if you like to talk in school. Come on, be honest with me, people. You're like, this guy asked me to raise my hand a lot. Well, come on, I'm trying to keep you awake. And so I used to talk in school. Well, it backfired one time. Well, several times. But it backfired just one time where I was in class and I was going to go take my driver's license test. I passed the permit test. Who passed the permit test on the first time? Raise your hand. I did too. And you know, my wife, she failed the first time. So I like to go ahead and throw her under the bus for that because she passed the driving test the first time. So I have to at least give her a hard time. She's not even here to defend herself. But anyways, we joke about that. But she passed the driver's test. She failed the permit test the first time. I passed that. I wish that was the story for the driver's test, okay? So just to give you a little more story about it, I was in school, and I had my classmates tell me, they said, Sean, if you get this guy at your driver's test, he is going to fail you the first time. He fails everybody the first time. He's going to fail you unless you're a girl. He would pass girls the first time. He hated guys, I guess. I don't know. But he would fail guys the first time every time. And so I remember, I'm like, that's not going to happen to me. I have good luck. It's going to be good. I'm going to go in there. Things are going to go well for me. It's going to be a great experience. I go into the driver's license center. Kids at school knew I was going to go. I sign in, and guess who called my name? That guy, right? That guy called my name. I'm like, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I go out. I parallel park. Who can parallel park in here? You need to parallel park. I parallel park like a champion. I was going to be honest. I'm not trying to brag, but I did, okay? Parallel park like a champion. I go out, parallel parked. I go out on the main road. Now, if you're in here tonight and you don't have your driver's license, you're going to pursue it. Make sure that you read the book, okay? Understand that. I didn't read the book. I should have, but I didn't read the book. Don't rely on your friends to tell you what's in that book. I asked my friends before I went and took the test. I said, what is the speed limit in residential? I don't even know why I asked them this, but they told me it was 35 miles an hour. I said, okay. Well, I did the parallel parking. I went on the main road. There were no speed limit signs. Go down the road, the main road, and I'd go 35 miles an hour. I'm like, here we go. I had my hands at 10 and 2. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, you're just driving like the best of your ability, driving down the road. He looks at my speedometer. He says, Sean, do you know how fast you're going? I said, I'm going 35 miles an hour. He said, it's 25 in residential. You're speeding. You fail. I said, I would drive this car off the road right now. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. But I was pretty angry. I was upset at him. I went back. I wasn't angry. I just was like, okay, well, I guess I failed. I went back to the driver's license center. I went to school, did the walk of shame, right? Did you ever do the walk of shame somewhere? You're like, here we go. They're like, did you pass? I'm like, no, I failed. I don't want to talk about it. You think I would have learned my lesson, right? I tell everybody the next week or something, I tell everybody, hey, I'm taking my driver's license test today, and today I'm passing, right? Told people that. Well, I go and I sign in. Guess who called my name? The same guy. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Does anybody else work back there, right? No, I'm just kidding. And so he called my name. I parallel parked like a champion. I went out on the main road, took the same route, main road, driving down the road, 25 miles an hour, hands at 10 and 2. And then he said, Sean, when you get up to this light right here, when you get to this light, turn left. I said, it's easy. I got this turning signal on. But then one of those things happened where I didn't know what to do. Where if a cop was behind you, you kind of maybe slow down. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't sure what to do. The light turned yellow, okay? And I thought to myself, do I do what I've seen every adult my entire life do? Or do I follow what that book said that I didn't read? What should I do here? I'm not sure. I pushed that gas down and I went through that light. You know what I mean? I went through that light right around the turn. I can picture it right now. He said, Sean, the yellow light means slow down and come to a stop. I said, I've never heard that in my entire life. Are you serious? He said, you fail. I said, I'm trying to come through it right now. I'm just going to say that. I went back, had to get driven to school, did the walk of shame again, failed, and told everybody I failed. I finally wised up. I went on a Saturday, okay? This time I went in, I signed in on a Saturday. Guess who called my name? I'm like, are you serious right now? Is anybody else work here at all? I don't want this guy anymore. He hates me. So I get back in the car. I parallel parked. And he says, Sean, tonight we're going to go on a different route. Okay? We go on a different route. In the morning. We go on a different route. We go out to some stop signs. And I, you know what I mean? Sometimes you stop at a stop sign. But then when there's somebody behind you where you're like, I need to stop at the stop sign. I don't want to get a ticket. I'm going to, and I did that. I stopped at those stop signs. I looked both ways like 6 times, hands at 10 and 2. I'm like, should I go? I went. I was really cautious the whole thing. And you know what happened? I passed my test that day. Give me a round of applause. I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. I'm just joking. But I got my driver's license that day, right? Now, the reason why I tell you that whole story, as we close, the reason why I tell you that whole story is because of, imagine if I would have stopped after the first failure. Imagine if I would have stopped after the second failure. My wife would be driving me around. Actually, she probably wouldn't have married me. She'd be like, no, I'm not driving you around the rest of your life, okay? And she probably wouldn't have. I wouldn't have got my driver's license. Sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes things aren't going to go the way you want them to go. But keep going. Be unstoppable. Keep going. Sometimes it's not going to go the way you had planned. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Maybe you're dealing with things right now in your life. You're like, Sean, I haven't been faithful. Start being faithful. Go to God and say, God, these are the things I'm struggling with. Maybe you've been dealing with your past. Where you're like, man, you don't understand what they did to me. Well, God does. Forget those things. Maybe you think, well, I've been a terrible testimony around the people around me. I haven't been an unforgettable person. I've been living for right now. I've been trying to just do my own thing, and I'm not real worried about it, but now I should be. Turn it around today. Today's the day to start being a good testimony. Let people see the change. Wow, there's something different about that person at work now. They don't act like the way they used to. I had a boss one time that said, Sean, I had to quit cheating on my taxes. He said, I used to kind of fudge the books, mess with the books and stuff like that. But now, you know what? I want to be honest because God wants me to be honest. He started being honest. His partner was like, what are you doing? He said, I want to be what God wants me to be. Be an unforgettable person in that way. Be the testimony that God wants you to be and be unstoppable. Satan's going to try to stop you. The devil is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to try to fight you from pressing on, like it says in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. I hope this encouraged you tonight to just keep pressing on. Sometimes we deal with things in life, and sometimes it's so challenging and hard, but just keep pressing on. Through God's strength, through God's power, you can overcome it.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.